And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton and the rest of the world at CFMU 93.3 on the FM dial. And you can catch us online, cfmu.mcmaster.ca, our streaming podcast. We're very excited to bring you Sunchi Avlijas today. We'll be talking about some of the big developments that have been happening in Quebec and also in Ontario. So I know we're talking about multifaceted movement here, and it's very exciting. So Sunchi, thanks so much for being with us on the program today.
Hi, Brandon. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, there's been so much happening. It's almost impossible to catch up since the last.
Yeah.
I mean, you know better than most people. You've been here, you've been there, you've been around with Jamie and others. Some big stuff. I guess that's the first thing we should look at, and it's that workshop that we promoted right here on this program, the Student Strike Training Camp. I guess I should start out by congratulating you on that success. It was amazing. Thanks so much for doing this. If you look at the Facebook page before the event, there was like dozens, hundreds of people signing up to come to the thing. And I was able to pop by myself to see it. Lots of impressive workshops you set up. I didn't get to go to yours, unfortunately.
I'm sorry I didn't get to see you, actually.
I apologize for that. I stopped by. I got to see Jamie's workshop. I saw the photo on Facebook of the one you're hosting there. What was that one? How did it go?
So it went really well. So because I'm a graduate student, I did most of my workshops were focused about graduate students. So maybe I'll just explain really quickly how the structures of the workshops worked. We had three different sessions, and then we had anywhere from 4 to 6 workshops happening simultaneously during each of those sessions. And my workshop was focused on graduate students. So the first one was mobilizing graduate students, but all the other workshops during that session were also focused on mobilizing people in the beginning. So there were workshops about how to get the word out, how to get people involved, about explaining what is a student strike. So the one I did was about mobilizing graduate students and the special situation that we find ourselves in as graduate students, where we don't have really large classes, we don't necessarily even know everybody who's in our program, and so how do we even start to find who the other graduate students are and how to get people involved.
Certainly, there's a number of different challenges you had to address, and I think the workshops were structured well to do so. I know there was the social events on Friday, and then that impressive list of selections people could go to. I happened to bump into Jamie, and I went up to his workshop on helping radicalize existing student organizations.
Oh, that's funny, because I did the other session of that workshop.
Okay.
for some workshops. So that wasn't during the second session. Or during the second group of workshops, which was about building infrastructures that allow us to have collective movements, student movements. And for some workshops, we had about 50 people sign up for the workshop, so we split it into two sessions. So Jamie did the one and I did the other one. We did the same workshop, but at the same time, because having a discussion with 50 people isn't really possible. There was so much interest. So during that second session of workshops, we talked more about, how to create general assemblies if your association has never had one, how to radicalize your student association if all that your student association does is organize parties or organize a health plan and just provide services. Or if you don't have a student association, for example, at departmental levels, there was a workshop about how to create student associations. That second session was a bit more about creating infrastructure. And then, of course, the last session was about actually how to make strikes work. So the different workshops were about just really logistical things, you know, how to effectively enforce a strike. What does a graduate student strike look like? That's the other one I presented. So for graduate students who don't have classes, what does it mean for us to be on strike? And then how to use a strike to actually build a movement. So how to go from just having a strike to having those 500,000 people in the streets.
That was one of the big issues, that these mobilizations don't happen from nowhere. The Quebec strike, of course, as you've pointed out and others have pointed out, it took years to get to the point where you are, including having more limited actions. So it took a lot of mobilization and effort to get where you are. And that's the sense I got from the discussions I was seeing, where there's a need to either create structures or help existing mm-hmm. structures get more involved into things. And the reason I say it's really helpful for people, because at Jamie's workshop, for example, you could see that the people that were there assembled around the table, some mm-hmm. of them or half of them or so were probably veteran student organizers or organizers mm-hmm. on various issues. And there was a lot of new people as well. People, maybe this was the first major thing they were getting involved in. And like what you were saying, they were people who tried to get involved in their student unions and other organizations. And perhaps those organizations weren't doing all the things that they were looking for. So they're going to try to find ways to improve and enhance them and build new organizations. So you have a lot of new people out there that are going to be able to benefit from talking and being in the presence of these other organizers having a shared goal, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Because it is an issue for a lot of people who want to become involved. They become very disenfranchised by these student associations that either aren't really political or they don't want to become involved in issues that are important to students, such as tuition and changes to the education system that the Ontario government is trying to push through, for example. And so then they either don't get involved and they feel like they're helpless and they have no power to do anything, or they become involved and they just feel like they're overwhelmed by this bureaucracy and all these, you know. I think that one of the biggest discussions we had is how we can actually become empowered to do things, even, you know, with these barriers of whether it's really undemocratic student associations or whether it's the non-existence of student associations.
Well, part of the debate seemed to be over what is the role of a student organization.
Right.
I mean, there's this service delivery orientation among many organizations, and it's up to the students to decide whether that works for them or not. So there were a lot of creative discussions over, again, the direction of where people want to go and how they can go forward achieving that. And it was good to see people from all over Ontario, all different campuses, Waterloo, McMaster, York, U of T, all over the...
Queens even. It was... Yeah, and then some of the northern campuses, the northern Ontario campuses, it was really interesting. There was a big, diverse group of students, and actually we realized, and there were even people from colleges, which was really interesting because college associations are in an even worse shape. They actually have administration, members of the college administration sitting under student associations, board of governors, or board of directors, so... they definitely don't have a lot of control over their own student associations. But one of the things that we talked about, and I'll just mention it really briefly, is that it's not that difficult to form a new association. The legitimacy for a new association doesn't have to come from the university or from the government. It has to come from the members of that association. So if all of the students who are in a certain department decided they want to form an association of students in that department, and as long as all the members recognize that association is being legitimate, then they have an association. They don't need to have some fancy accreditation from the government or, you know, be recognized by anybody.
Certainly one of the things I picked up from the workshop is that an organization of any kind, including a student organization, that kind of organization is made up of the people on the ground, the people right. that are willing to do something. So if there's people that are willing to do something, they are the organization.
Exactly. And so a lot of the other things we talked about is the best scale at which to organize for, you know, democratic societies that student societies that can do things like make lots of decisions to go on strike is at the departmental level, is with groups of students of 1,000 students or less. Because when you have 8,000 students or 20,000 students, it's impossible for everybody to come and sit down in a meeting together and make a decision to go on strike. Those general assemblies that where the strikes are voted, even if they have, you know, 1 or 2% of their members, you know, 2,000 people come out of 20,000, the strike is going to be viewed as illegitimate because all those other 18,000 people didn't even vote. So it's much easier to function on a smaller scale anyways, and usually departmental associations don't exist, and they're not these really bureaucratic student unions like we see at the student-wide level. So it actually, in a way, is an advantage that they don't exist because students can just create them, and that is the best place to work from anyways.
Well, whatever the case may be, it seems there's an advantage or a strategy involved in finding out who's interested and building outwards from there. And I guess there's a number of ways of doing that. Well, I wasn't at too many workshops. So what was your favorite one? Was it the one you presented at, or which one was it?
Oh, well, I didn't get to attend any of the other ones because I was presenting during every single session.
But, really?
I think actually my favorite thing was that during the fourth and final session, we actually didn't present a workshop. We had the session was called What's the Way Forward? And we actually, I was in the graduate student one, and we actually had a discussion with everybody. And we talked a little bit about strategies and as well the campaign that might be important in Ontario. And I actually learned a lot about, I did my undergrad in Ontario at McMaster, but I hadn't really kept in touch with what's happening in Ontario. And I got to learn some really interesting things about what the government is doing. And I know one of the things that people say is, oh, well, you know, in Quebec, you had a 75% increase. It all came out all of a sudden. So you had a perfect campaign just kind of handed to you. Well, in Ontario, I heard from these students is that the government is trying to completely overhaul the way that universities function. So I don't know if you've heard about that the paper that came out. It was called Strengthening Ontario's Centers of Creativity, Innovation, and Knowledge.
Yes.
And there was also its counterpart, the paper that wasn't supposed to be public. That's called 3Cubed, which explains things. Exactly what the government is trying to do and why they're trying to do it in slightly more straightforward terms, because it was an internal document that wasn't supposed to be leaked. But you can find it online. You just Google 3Cubed Ontario. It's the second link that comes up. And what they want to do is change the system to a three-year undergraduate to have three full semesters a year. So including the summer semester is supposed to be a full semester, not a break, during which people can go work and do whatever. And they want to encourage universities to have students take 3 out of every 5 courses online. That seems like a really shocking change in the education system.
Yeah, I remember the uproar when universities were having, say, 1 online course per semester or academic year.
Right. So the government is basically saying, you know, we can do all this stuff, and that's why it's called 3Cubed. It's these three-year undergrad, 3 full semester, 3 out of 5 courses online. And it is... Yeah, I found it really shocking.
Yeah.
And then I won't take too much time. I just want to read like a tiny section of the paper where it says that another thing they want to move towards is creating a shared space or increasing shared spaces with the private sector. And they say, well, more academic learning can be moved online. Capital budgets can be adjusted to focus on creating this type of shared space. And then they say with savings achieved through the 3x3 increases in the sector, so implementing the 3x3 plan, the government could establish a revolving fund that can be used by publicly funded institutions, which so far so good, that doesn't sound so bad. But then it goes on to say the fund would only be available to projects that demonstrate a bankable return on investment. It's like, to me, it's a shocking move towards commercializing our universities, and nowhere in any of those papers is there any mention of, you know, academia or the value of fundamental research so I was very shocked by that. And I learned that from the students who were at the workshops. It sounds like the Ontario students actually have a lot of reasons to start mobilizing and getting prepared to defend their education and their university system.
Yes, I've heard talk of complete privatization, basically. There is a discussion stirring on this, and we'll be hearing more about that. So you're on the right track, I think.
I mean,
you're not taking it lying down even at the meeting, because there was the little demos you guys had. I had to go back to Hamilton before that happened.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know exactly how it worked, but I guess people congregated at a certain point and had a march in Toronto. Is that right?
Yeah, it was really fun. We decided to just do something a little bit fun. That was part of when we were planning the workshop. That was one of our fun activities. So we just we figured we're in Toronto. Why don't we have a demo? And we met in a park and people congregated. And when enough people came, we left and we just wanted to show people how non-planned demonstration happens, like the ones that have been happening in Montreal, the night demonstrations. And it was really fun. People were chanting. We learned, you know, people were singing some songs and chants in French as well. So people found that really interesting. And I personally found it really interesting to do a march like that around downtown Toronto because the response was so interesting from all the people on the street. People were, I kept on stopping me to ask us, what are you guys so angry about? What is going on? And then I'd say, well, you know, students are upset about the increases to tuition fees. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's true. Like, I pay my kids tuition fees and they're way too high.
Yes. Like, so I've had a similar reaction when we wear the red square. If you're just in public, you know, going to a party or something, people ask, well, what's that about? And then you talk about the tuition. And they're shocked, too, because it's the same thing. They're putting their kids through college and it's gone up 300% or whatever. And they would like to see a change in that situation as well. And for that demo, I think it's there's a video on YouTube of it now. People can assess it for themselves. Yeah. So, you know, all this stuff is on YouTube these days. So you can you know, evaluate all these things. Yeah. And have discussions and what do you think?
It's really fun.
I mean, this actions of various types are ongoing in Canada and not just in Quebec, but of course, there's all sorts of creative protests. We saw what the scientists did and other things. I think you were involved in that one.
Yes, I organized buses from McGill to go to Ottawa.
Well, that's great. You know, in terms of the Quebec student movement, this is a big time coming up. I know it's supposed to be a quiet period, but there's a lot of organizing right now because you have to make a decision about. Tell us about that. Yeah.
I think the quiet period is officially over. The 100th night demonstration happened a couple days ago, and I believe it was last Wednesday. Sorry, don't quote me on that. It happened a couple days ago, and there were 10,000 people on the streets again during a night demo. Today was the first what we call a manifestation, so a demo slash action. Again, since the break, and people blocked the entrance to Hydro-Québec at noon, a huge, what is being called, going towards the largest demonstration ever in Quebec, is being planned for the 22nd of August. And students are all set to make sure that there is no forced return to class for the stageups that are supposed to have that are supposed to be opening again on the 13th. So students have been going back to their GAs, have been reaffirming the strike votes last night. The UCAM humanities faculty reconducted their strike votes, so they're on strike. A number of stage labs have already reconducted their strikes. So, and students are just organizing picket lines and getting ready to make sure that riot police or not, if they voted for a strike, that the strike will be respected. And actually, a lot of the union, FNEC, which represents most of the stage labs, so those are the colleges, the professors who teach there, we had a big special council all day yesterday to discuss just this, how teachers are going to deal with this, because most of these teachers and professors unions have a policy to respect picket lines, and a lot of the individuals will not cross picket lines. So there is a lot of support from the teachers and the professors for the students' strike as well.
Yeah, I've been looking at some local editorial opinion, and some of it seems to suggest, you know, there shouldn't be strikes. Students are students, not labor unions. So, you know, why are students striking? So why do you think there's such an impetus to go ahead with that kind of strategy right now?
Because it's useful, because it's the one thing that we can do that empowers us to actually affect change. It's, you know, labor unions weren't always legal. Labor unions had strikes when they first started that were technically actually illegal, because there was no legislation that said that labor was allowed to form unions and form strikes. And who is to tell us that we cannot form a union and hold a collective decision to go on strike? The students in that association, again, recognize that they are in an association and they respect the collective will that is voted at the General Assembly. And as long as that General Assembly is seen as legitimate by its members, then it is legitimate. We don't need a governmental legislation that says you guys are allowed to go on strike.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of voting going on right now. I saw the Facebook updates from Jamie's page that there had been various sectors or good votes in some cases, you know, huge majorities.
And again, so, yeah, just to conclude, I just want to say the strike has been the only technique that has actually worked. It has put pressure on the government, economic pressure, pressure because they're afraid they're going to finally have to cancel this semester, which would cost them a lot of money. It's the only technique that's been able to put pressure on the government to actually negotiate with us. Putting 500,000 people in the streets did not make the government negotiate with us. We had that giant demonstration back in March, and the government did not care. They were not swayed to, you know, look at our demands and to be like, oh, look, all these people are upset. Let's, you know, do something. Maybe we're wrong. but the strikes are the thing that has pushed this government to negotiate with the students.
As we predicted, Charest is not doing too well right now. He's kind of shaking right now. So I guess his electoral strategy right now is to paint himself as the person who's going to put you down, to repress you. I mean,
right. Yeah, well, I mean, the unfortunate thing for him is that he's been trying to do that since, like, for how many months now, and he has not been successful. None of his draconian laws or strategies have been successful at suppressing and squashing the student movement, and I don't know what he thinks he's going to do, and I don't think anyone believes that anymore, that he's capable of dealing with the situation. Even people who might not necessarily think that tuition should be lower or that tuition hikes shouldn't be put in place can see that Charest has been completely incompetent in dealing with this conflict. And that he's only made it worse. The situation in Quebec has never been this bad.
I'm sure whatever happens with...
Well, not ever, but, you know, in recent memory.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this return to class thing and the strikes. It's going to be exciting no matter what happens. I guess before we go, I know you had mentioned August 22nd, and of course the 22nd of the month is important. Now, you've got a pretty ambitious plan. Do you think you can really put that many people into the streets?
I don't know, but the labor unions are calling to ask our members to come and join into that demonstration yesterday at the, as I mentioned, FNEC, which is the branch of the CSN that's for the Federation of the Teachers, has put a formal call out to our members, which technically, I guess, would be probably in breach of Law 78, but they put a formal call out to ask their members to come out in great numbers. And, I mean, maybe it won't be bigger than March 22nd, maybe it will. You never know, but either way, I think there will be a lot of people out in the streets.
Yeah, and there's been lots of good news at times regarding labor unions or from labor unions in Quebec and the rest of Canada, and the way in which unions can cooperate with students that we'll have to investigate in further detail at some point on the program. But this is all very exciting, and we'll be watching very closely, and I'm sure we'll be hearing about it on all fronts, from the media to the alternative media and here on this program. So great job with the training sessions, and I hope people, the knowledge filters out and people can talk to the activists that were there, and we'll see what the next big plans are with elections and strikes. It's going to be an exciting month. So Sunchi, you're organizing a lot of things there, and you are among the first to bring us these stories here in English Canada on any station on the radio or elsewhere. So I know our listeners appreciate this for sure. So thanks. We'll have to keep a close eye on all these developments.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks. It's a pleasure here, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.